There are only two areas in the physiology where Robert O. Becker focused his attention during the course of his regeneration experiments: the bone marrow and the skin, particularly the underside of the skin. And it's interesting that wound healing begins at the underside of the skin, at the edges of the wound. But healing also is generated by the bone marrow, either one or both, depending on the situation and how you make use of it. So when in chapter 7, when he stuck the platinum end of his galvanic so-called battery, you know, two electrodes, silver and platinum fused together, he put the platinum in the bone marrow, but he put the silver on the underside of the skin further up the stump. And I always suspected there was a reason for that, and now I can see why, because he's making use of two areas of the physiology wherein regeneration comes out of. But take note of the polarity. He put the negative platinum electrode in the bone marrow to stimulate the production of stem cells to come out of the bone marrow. Let's say it was an amputation, a clean cut across the entire limb, so that that profusion of stem cells coming out of the bone marrow can suffuse the whole wound and supply the whole wound with all the stem cells needed. But he also put the positive anode, the silver end of that galvanic battery, attached to the underside of the skin further up the limb towards the base of that stump that he had amputated. And I just thought it was a reference. But then when he swapped leads and forced a positive situation onto the wound with a silver gauze up above the wound, I failed to link those two facts together. So what we have here, because elsewhere in the scientific literature it's stated that the wound is generated from the edges, the regeneration is generated from the edges of the wound emanating from the underside of the skin, the growth layer of the skin. So I was correct in my assessment that if we somehow got silver under the skin, regeneration might occur, and then if we place a negative electrode above the skin to drive the ions up into the bottom or underside growth layer of the skin, we would get regeneration to occur, and that's probably true. So if we somehow were able to drip a saline solution of silver colloid, or just a distilled water solution of silver colloid, into the flesh underneath the skin and charge up that area of the skin negative and the opposite end of the body positive, we would get the skin to regenerate just as we're supposed to in the direct fashion, but now using a negative charge instead of a positive charge, because we don't have to drive silver ions off of a silver gauze or a silver electrode, because we already have it in solution. So now we get to apply the negative charge that we should have applied all along. So we're not going to be forming any scar tissue, any connective tissue. We're simply going to be electroplating the silver to the underside of the skin. And the same thing's going to happen. We're going to get the formation of stem cells from connective tissue. We just don't create any more connective tissue because we didn't create a wound. See, so we're dealing with a non-wound situation in that instance. And so that's why we reverse polarity and not use positive, we use negative. And we put the silver underneath the skin because we don't have any wound, an opening to put the silver on top, on the outside. So we put it on the inside. So there are variations to this protocol, let's put it that way, that are feasible. It's just a question of doing it. We get a hypodermic needle, we get a silver colloid solution, probably The silver solution from silversolutionusa.com, because that's the probably the most highest quality silver colloid available, and probably use their higher parts per million. I think they have a 22 or 24 parts per million. They charge double and give you half as much volume, so that you end up getting the same quantity of silver. They're charging you for the silver, comparably. But you get a higher dosage, and that would be more efficient because you wouldn't want to have to inject too much fluid under the skin, obviously. That would be very grossly inefficient. So we need hypodermic needles. We have to know how to inject under the skin, not into an artery, not break any artery or capillary, because we don't want to go into the bloodstream. We want to go into the space beneath the skin to inject the fluid, and only a small amount of fluid, obviously. So it's going to have to be a high concentration of parts per million, and it has to be done periodically. So it's not an injection, it's more like a drip irrigation. So now we need an IV and a pole to hang it on, you know, or something to hang it on at any rate, so the gravity can drip it in. And then we need a regulating device to regulate the drip coming out of the saline bag, because we're not going to use a saline bag, because we're not going to use saline. We're going to use a distilled water solution of silver colloid. Maybe we have to use saline with silver in there, but I would guess not. I would guess that it needs to be distilled water with a high concentration, or, you know, 20 or so parts per million of silver colloid. So what was the point of this? I forgot already. The point was, that I started with, was that the bone marrow obviously is not the only source of stem cells, because if we use a positive charge driving silver into the skin, we will create scar tissue and then convert the scar tissue into stem cell tissue. But the point is that we don't have to create a wound. That was the prior episode, episode number 16. So then I thought, okay, what we need to do is create little cuts to get the body interested, to fake the existence of a wound by minimally creating tiny little wounds in the area that we want the body to focus, regeneration, and then apply the positive charged silver gauze above that area. But what if we simply, and this is something I had taped once before, I'm not sure I posted it, what if we simply inject silver colloid under the skin in the area that we want to treat, and instead of applying a positive charge, we apply a negative charge to drive the silver ions up into the underside of the skin where the growth layer is, which is where regeneration occurs, and get the silver to bind with the connective tissue, the scar tissue that's already there. Because the older we get, the more, shall I say, density of scar tissue per square area of the skin occurs, because the body keeps laying down scar tissue throughout life. And the faster we age, the more readily scar tissue has been laid down, causing the skin to become more and more fragile, more and more stiff. And that is inclusive of all the muscular tissue, cartilage tissue, everything, you name it. The body is aging itself. And so all we need is the presence of silver. We could drink the stuff, and if we could get it into that area, then all we have to do is apply the right charge and let the silver do its job. So part of the protocol to this procedure is to back it up with a supporting procedure of taking silver colloid solution orally. And probably made by this company is probably the best kind, because it gets past the barrier reef, so to speak, of the membrane of the gut and into the bloodstream and into the body. Supposedly, hopefully, so you don't have to inject it. Otherwise, we have to inject it into the area that we want it, and then apply the charge of current according to what we're trying to do. You know, it's all about direction of flow of the current determines the direction that the silver ions are going to take and where we're going to deposit them in the area that we want to deposit them to make regeneration happen. So it goes from a direction of positive to negative, is the direction that silver takes. So the target is the negative. So if we're going into the body from outside, negative then has to be on the opposite side of the wound, and positive has to be above the wound to drive silver into the wound. But if we're coming up from below, from inside the body, into the area that we want to regenerate, because there is no wound, no opening of the skin, we just drip a solution of silver colloid into the underside of that area of the skin, let's say, or into an organ, for that matter. See, this is how we regenerate organs. We inject it into the organ, silver colloid, or drip it. Then we want the direction of current to flow into the target area. In this case, let's say if it's a foreskin we're trying to develop without having to make cuts, then we apply the negative charge above the area of the skin in which we want the foreskin to grow. And the positive is on the opposite, which would be, in this case, the tailbone, because we have to encircle the penis below the head, below the neck of the head, with a negative charge. And we won't be using a silver gauze necessarily, although we could use one as our cathode encircling the penis. But we won't be driving silver into the outside of the skin, because there's no wound there. And instead, we'll be injecting a silver colloid solution under the skin and driving it up into the underside layer of the skin to get it to regenerate. So now we want to put a negative charge on the outside of the penis, encircling the area where we want regeneration to occur, and positive elsewhere, probably at the tailbone, to drive the silver ions up into the underside of this growth layer of the skin and get them to lodge there and bind, electroplate with the underside of the skin, which is where they're needed. If we have an open wound, they're going to get to the underside of the skin because the skin is broken open. But without a break, the silver's not going to lodge there and cause regeneration to occur into the interior of the wound, into the center of the wound, from the edges inwards. I'm talking a surface plane of orientation I'm trying to describe, oriented parallel to the surface of the body, in which regeneration occurs towards the center of the wound from its periphery, from its edges, at the growth layer, the bottom layer of the skin. That's where regeneration is happening for some reason, because it's the growth layer of the skin is geared for growth. The muscles are geared for growth only if you use them and rip them through exercise, micro tears of exercise. And unfortunately, as age progresses, instead of laying in all new muscle tissue, we lay in a certain amount of scar tissue, and then we find we can't exercise without pain happening at the termination of the exercise. And that pain is scar tissue getting in the way. I mean, not at the end of the exercise, but I mean, let's say we waited a few days and we still have a sore muscle. Yeah, it healed, but with scar tissue, and that's why it's stiff, because we can't move it because the scar tissue is stiff. So it didn't heal properly. So after an exercise, what we should really be doing is suffuse the muscle with silver colloid somehow, either orally taken or drip irrigated, injected, and then flow the electrical current in the direction of the muscle that we want to heal after the exercise, and then we'll get the formation of muscle tissue the way we should be, just like if we were children under the age of 10, engaging in natural exercise, namely play, physical play. And that physical play creates all the micro tears of the muscles, but it's okay because our whole body is suffused with stem cells coming out of our bone marrow, so we're regenerating properly. We're generating new tissue properly, the way nature should happen. So those first 10 years of our life are the most ideal in terms of generation and regeneration of the tissues of the body. So we have to artificially induce that, encourage the body to induce that state post age of 10. And that's where Robert Obecker's technology comes into play, but he didn't get this far with his technology. He didn't go around injecting people with silver colloid because it didn't exist. It didn't exist until the 90s, and even then it was an inferior product. Only now is it a superior product capable of being used medically for the regeneration of tissues deep inside the body, sans wound, without a wound. So we got an organ. Let's say it's a bad liver. Instead of getting a liver transplant, what do? We want to regenerate our liver. Well, liver tissue is a good choice because it is more readily regeneratable. But then we got other instances, such as a muscle. I got a bad muscle around my left hip, a whole area there. I could be injecting silver colloid and apply, let's see, a positive, I could surround the whole hip area with a positive cathode material. It could be carbonized rubber. It doesn't have to be silver gauze. You know, something flexible. Or a multitude of carbonized rubber electrodes stuck to the skin in various places surrounding that whole area, and then split in parallel the positive charge among them all, evenly distributed among all those electrodes surrounding that area. And then the negative would be placed someplace else. Let's say, so if that's on my left hip, let's say I put a single negative electrode on the outside of my right hip, let's say. And so then I inject the area with a drip saline solution of silver colloid, and then apply that current going from negative left to positive right hip, negative left hip to positive right hip, to drive, positive left hip to negative right hip, to drive the silver across the pelvis, and hopefully across all those sore muscles surrounding my left hip. Now the other way to do that would be to put the negative reference electrode at the base of the left foot, and then surround the left hip with various positive electrodes would be another possibility. Or put the negative electrode at least somewhere below the hip, let's say, in a ring shape, again ringed, because we're on this, we're not at the base of the foot, so then we would, let's say midway down the thigh, mid-thigh, surrounded with a ring electrode, another carbonized rubber electrode, which is negative, and then a ring of various electrodes surrounding the left hip, which are all positive, and then inject the silver colloid in the area of the left hip in various spots, actually multiple spots, because I have multiple spots in that area surrounding my left hip in which the muscles are sore and they haven't healed properly. I have multiple muscle groups that are sore. And then apply the current construct a circuit in which I measure the area that I'm healing. And now we're not dealing with a square area anymore. We're dealing with a cubic volume. I wonder, though, do we step up the computation to create a cubic area to step up the amperage? That doesn't make sense. That would be a huge amount of amperage, and Robert Obecker said no. You only need a small amount of amperage. So I think what we have to do is take a cubic volume of tissue that we want to heal and figure out what kind of surface area of the skin is above that cubic volume of inner tissue and compute the circuit on the basis of the surface area of the skin above the cubic volume of tissue beneath that skin, and then construct the circuit, the resistance required to get the right amperage based on that surface area of skin above the cubic volume of tissue that we want to heal. And that's an important point, but I have to speculate it. I don't know this for certain, because it doesn't make sense to take a square area that, I mean, Robert Obecker in his patent said how much resistance to use, 500 ohms per centimeter. And maybe he did that for a reason. Because maybe if we want to create volume of space as opposed to just the surface of a wound, maybe we have to cube that. 500 ohms cubed. I don't know. It makes possible sense, though. So I see, I don't know how to speculate, because I don't know. If I'm trying to heal a whole hip area, that's a huge cubic volume of space. Maybe it has, the 500 ohms per centimeter has to be cubed per cubic centimeter. Okay? I'm just guessing. But it's a possibility. I don't know. Because we're dealing with the interior of the body, and that's a lot of volume. And when you're dealing with volume, the resistance goes up. And in the case of volume, it's cubed. So it could very well be a cubic centimeter. Whatever 500 is cubed, I don't know. Well, let's see. 5 squared is 25. Cubed is 125. And you've got two zeros to start with. Cubed, you're going to end up with 6 zeros. So it's 125 followed by 6 zeros. Well, 6 zeros is a million. So that's 125 million ohms resistance. Is that right? Wow. That's a lot of resistance. That means the amperage is going to be even lower. What? Or do you ignore my speculation of cubing that figure of 500 ohms per centimeter and instead just compute it on the basis of squaring it based on the area that you're marking out, so to speak, with your various electrodes spread around, creating an area above the cubic volume of tissues below it. That's my guess. I think he wrote it up a certain way, but he never did the volume experiments of healing internal organs yet, because his funding had been cut before he got that far. And when you're dealing with a wound with lots of tissue damage and bone damage underneath what he computed was the area, he was including the volume. He was just simply wasn't computing on the basis of volume. He was computing on the basis of the square area above the volume when he applied his dressing. In other words, the size of the gaping wound that was open. And it was presumed that the wound underneath was strictly underneath and not off to one side, such that it was not underneath the open wound. In other words, somebody didn't go in sideways and create injury through an opening in the skin. They simply went straight down. It was just an accidental wound. See, it wasn't intentionally done sideways. But if you have a... Yeah, even, let's say if you had a tunneling wound, such as a bullet wound, and went in sideways, not directly straight down, and it came out the... Let's say it came out the other side, so there's no bullet there, or they took out the bullet. You'd have to compute on the basis of the opening that the bullet took, and maybe enlarge, compute for something larger than that, and then put your two electrodes on either side in the direction that the bullet take, the path that it took. And let's say it only went halfway and they took the bullet out. Then you have to guess estimate where the bullet would have come out on the opposite side and put your other electrode there, and then your silver gauze positive electrode over the opening where the bullet had entered the skin, so that your pathway is entirely along the pathway that the bullet took, plus a little extra beyond where the bullet did not go, assuming it did not come out the other side, let's say. So yeah, I don't think we cube 500 ohms, because it would make the amperage so low, when in reality you have to increase the amperage, you would think. If that's the way he intended us to use that figure, it doesn't make sense. So you see, you got to think math through. You just don't blindly do math. So I don't think we ever cube 500 ohms per centimeter. We simply square it. It was just his way of writing it into the patent. I don't know. It was just the way he did it. God only knows why he did it that way. I guess to be fancy, because it does not make sense to cube 500 ohms. If you're going to increase an area by turning it into a volume, a planar area, a plane, by turning it into a volume, if anything, you need more amperage, not less. And by cubing the resistance, you're going to end up with far less amperage, not more. So that does not make sense. So we must not cube 500 ohms per centimeter. We just square it like we normally do. Because that, it was just a funny, silly way he wrote it in the patent. He could have just said, what does that come to? 4 zeros plus a 25. 250 ohms per square centimeter. He could have just said that. And then add it to either 1 to 25 square centimeters, which is the resistance of the other electrode, your reference electrode. But the 250,000 ohms is the resistance for your silver gauze. No, excuse me. You see, it was the other way around. 1 to 25 ohms per square centimeter of the silver gauze. Of course, you have to measure your silver gauze to see if that's actually the resistance you're getting, and then adjust accordingly if you're not. But what he was doing was he was putting his resistor very coyly, very surreptitiously, into the circuit at the negative electrode, the referencing electrode opposite the wound, on the side of the body opposite the wound. Rather than saying that it's in the circuit outside the body in the first place. So he says, well, yeah, but you measure it, the resist. If we simply ignore the existence of the circuit, and simply when we describe what we're acknowledging in terms of resistance, he didn't even acknowledge the resistance of the body. He said, no, he simply said that he's measuring the resistance of the circuit in two places, and he's dividing it up. 1 to 25 ohms per square centimeter at the positive silver gauze, and 250,000 ohms per square centimeter at the negative electrode on the opposite side of the body, opposite the wound. And you have to add those two figures together to get your complete resistance, to get your complete amperage for the entire circuit that you're going to apply to the body. So we still have to use the same methodology. We just, even if we're treating a cubic area of volume of tissue beneath that area of skin, we just have to say, okay, how large is the liver? And what's the area, the surface area of the skin above the liver? And compute the resistance of that to get the amperage needed to drive the ions into the liver. And our electrode area has to be that large. We don't use a tiny one. I mean, it has to be that large above the liver. And probably because it's a narrow space between the front of the body and the back of the body in that area of the liver, probably the reference negative electrode on the back behind the liver should be also the same area. So we've got this huge resistance he's computing. But see, now that was for an open wound, though. So maybe we have to subtract the resistance of that much skin to raise the amperage to get through the skin if there's no opening, if we don't create a break. Oh my God, here we go again. To cut or not to cut? Okay, so this is what you do. You compute based on his figures if you have an open wound or if you intend to create an open wound. And then you have to measure skin resistance on both sides of the body and subtract that from the figure that you'd gotten previously for how much resistance to compute in order to get the correct amperage, because now we have to raise the amperage to overcome the resistance of the skin if we don't cut the skin. So this is how we compute for creating a circuit based on not cutting. How do we do it? So now we do what we did previously in our calculation, but we add another step in which we have to remove a numeric value equal to two layers of skin, the resistance that it will contribute in terms of the square area that we are going to be treating. How much resistance is that skin going to offer? Now, if we're using multiple electrodes spread out to treat a cubic volume underneath, we don't measure the area of the skin denoted by the spread of the electrodes. That's not going to work. All we can do is take the square area of each electrode and add them up, even though we're going to be spreading them out. That's not right. I'm sorry. Forget what I just said. No. We measure the area of the skin denoted by the spread of the multiple electrodes, even though the electrodes are not making contact with all that skin. We make believe it is. And thus, add up all the resistance of that huge area of the skin, both directly underneath each of those multiple electrodes, as well as surrounding them, because oh my God, I'm doing the math wrong. You know what? I should have done this on paper. Yeah, we treat that as a wound. And now, we take the level of resistance of the skin of that whole area and subtract from his figure. I wonder if it's going to come up with a negative value of resistance. You know, obviously, I know what to do if I come up with a negative value, because that's not going to make any sense. Reciprocal value, maybe, because then that means the amperage is upped even more if we're dealing with reciprocals. But if we're dealing... No, wait a minute. No, we're dividing. Let's see, as I recall... Well, yeah, we're dividing the target amperage into the drop voltage. So if the drop voltage is a negative value because we had so much to drop to subtract from the source of the voltage from the battery, then we're dividing by a negative value. That is weird. See, you know, I'm going to have to do this on paper to try to figure out what would be the result. I'm just mapping it out in my head ad hoc, you know, off the cuff, not really realizing the consequences. But now getting into the nitty-gritty of doing the necessary calculations to come up with the correct amperage, which might even be in the milliamps, for all I know. And then those iontophoresis devices being sold on Amazon might be already pre-made for us at the correct amperage. So I'm going to have to find out if they are, instead of continually criticizing them from time to time, when I probably should not be. Because if that's the right amperage, is milliamps, then we don't have to make our own circuit. We just go and buy it on Amazon. Just we're not using it to drive cosmetics into the skin. We're driving silver ions, possibly up from under in the interior, because we dripped, injected silver colloid under the skin. And if the area in question has no break, no puncture wound, we didn't inject the silver colloid there. We did it sideways or off-site, away from the wound area, and then massaged the fluid into that area if we can. If not, then we have a break, a clean break, that we injected, and that means we can't use milliamps. But if we use the lower amps, it's going to only go through the puncture, and that's not right. So we have to plug up the hypodermic injection with an insulating material that's biocompatible to prevent our current from going through the path of least resistance, which is the opening that we injected the silver colloid through, and instead apply it to the surrounding tissue that we did not want to cut with a higher amperage, because we don't want electrolysis to happen at the puncture wound site and create toxins. So we would have to insulate that area somehow. The puncture wound, we'd have to insulate it, create an artificial covering. And I'm not sure how to do that. Beeswax? I don't think I'd want to use silicone. Beeswax is a possibility, but it's not permanent. It won't adhere to the skin, though. It would have to be a kind of a glue, a kind of a adhesive, gluing something that would literally glue the skin together. The puncture wound, the edges of the puncture wound together to seal it shut so that no current can go through there. It'd have to be waterproof, watertight, electrical proof. If we've got a contact electrode above it in the surrounding area, let's say we're trying to do the penis, but we don't want to make any cuts, so we just inject the fluid underneath, maybe in a few places, surround in a ring area surrounding the skin just below the head, or at the head, at the neck of the head. Because if we raise the amperage, we want to make sure it doesn't go through the path of least resistance through the puncture holes. I don't know, that's a side problem that has to be solved first. Because we don't want the amperage to take the path of least resistance through those holes. We want it to go through the skin and meet up with the resistance of the skin, which will lend credibility to raising the amperage beyond nanoamps into at least the microamps, if not going even further than that, into the milliamps range. But we have to protect the wound from electrolysis happening, those puncture wounds, or else we're going to get toxins created there. an injury. We're going to literally injure the area. Unless we make use of that hole, as I had previously posted, or previously recorded, I don't know if I posted it, and insert a silver electrode through the hole to the underside of the skin. That's also a distinct possibility. It's probably not going to feel very good. They have a piece of silver wire going around between the skin and the tissue of the penis, between the two. And that's assuming that it'll fit there. See, I don't know if it's a complete break between the skin surrounding the penis, the shaft skin, and the penis shaft itself. Yeah, the skin is supposed to slip freely across, up and down, or sideways, whatever, across the entire shaft of the penis, but is there really a break there, such that a thin wire of silver can be placed there, inserted there, and still allow the slippage of the skin? Then you would want a ring. You'd want a circular ring of silver wire to go around the penis in the area that you want to regenerate. And then place, that would be your positive anode, and then you wouldn't have to inject silver colloid to the underside of the skin. And then you would place a negative ring, let's say, is either carbonized rubber or use something softer material such as silverized nylon, above the skin in a ring, above the neck of the penis, just below the neck where you want regeneration to occur. And so you've got silver wire underneath the skin and the silverized nylon, let's say, above the skin, and both in a ring shape encircling the penis, the circumference of the penis, just below the neck, or just below the head, I should say, of the penis. Maybe the wire would be at the edge of the head, at the base of the head. And then the silverized nylon would be straddling both sides, a little bit of the head, the bottom of the head, and a little bit of the shaft skin below the head, to get that area surrounding that wire encircling the penis. And then you apply your current. Well, now the current has to be the appropriate amperage that Becker specified, and nothing else. Because now we've inserted the electrode under the skin, so there's no skin resistance. Because we're simply driving silver ions into, electroplating it into the underside of the skin, encircling the penis. And so there's no resistance. I mean, the electrode's right there up against the skin. So we do exactly what Robert O. Becker envisioned, 500 ohms resistance per centimeter. So we have to square the, figure out the kind of area that we're treating as a square area. Or not. Maybe not. Maybe we just measure the length of the silver wire as a linear measurement, so that we're using less. That sounds iffy. To use less resistance and greater amperage by a square. We took the square root of what we normally would do. That doesn't make sense. The square root of 250 ohmic resistance? I don't think so. That doesn't make sense. That's a huge amount of amperage. No, I still think we have to use 250,000 ohms per square area, even though we're using a wire. But the wire is very thin. So effectively, we're really not squaring anything. Boy, I don't know. No, I think because the negative electrode is above the skin of the penis, it's defining the area that's going to be electroplated, okay? So the silver ions are going to be driven off the wire. I'm just scenarioing a hypothesis, you know. It doesn't mean we're going to do it this way. But if we did do it this way, then we have to compute on the basis of the square area of the negative electrode placed above the skin, because that's going to target where the silver is going to be electroplated to the underside of the skin. It's going to determine the target area. So we have to shape the silver electrode above the skin and then measure that area. And it's going to be a square area. And we're just using a thin silver wire, as thin as possible, so it doesn't get too much in the way of the area, you know. But it can't be too... Well, it has to be thin, because it also has to be flexible. Because we're going to have to curl it around. That's going to be a painful process to insert it, obviously. Might even require a local anesthetic And once it's in place, then you try to move as little as possible. Otherwise, you'd have to keep using a local anesthetic, because there'd be no pain from infection, obviously, but there'd be pain from movement. Every time you move the penis, it'll be painful. So, you know, that has its caveats, obviously. Anyway, I'm just throwing out a bunch of ideas. I forgot what I started with. There was a whole point to this video. I'm not going to try to figure that out and repeat myself. You just replay the video from the beginning. I'll replay the video from the beginning to find out what I started this off in the first place, because I've totally lost track of what I started talking about. Anyway, this is episode 17 of the PG-rated regeneration series of videos. And this is going to be a strictly an audio file, since there's nothing for you to see. I'm pointing the camera at my face. So, anywho, conversations with Vinyasi on the topic of regeneration. Whatever. Whoops.